you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Many thoughts, some deeply disturbing, flooded the minds of the disciples on the night of their master's betrayal. They ate the Passover in a large upper room in Matthew 26, 17 through 20, and Mark 14, 12 through 17. Jesus surprised them by taking a basin of water and washing their feet in John 13, verses 2 through 17. It was not until later that they fully understood why this was done. He startled them by announcing that one of you shall betray me in John 13, 21 through 30. Jesus was identified as the traitor. Repeatedly, Jesus had forewarned that he would be killed in Jerusalem. And you can find that in Matthew 16, 21, 17, 20 through, 22 through 23, Matthew 20, 17 through 19, and Luke 18, 31 through 34. Then he talked about leaving them, adding, "Wherever I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." John 13, 33 and verse 36. Furthermore, he informed them that Peter would deny him three times before the crowing of the rooster in John 13, 38. Mention of their master's death filled their minds with dread. How could he reign as the Messiah if he was put to death? Talk of his going away distressed them. It seemed incredible that they would be offended because of him, or that Peter would deny him three times. The disciples were perplexed and disquieted. Jesus consoled them by saying, let's look at John 14 and verse 1. "Let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Their trust in God and in Jesus, the Son of God, was assurance that the divine plan would work to their good. All who follow Jesus must learn to walk by faith. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you might keep your finger at John 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." John 14 and verse 2. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Although the Father's house includes many mansions, Jesus was going to prepare a place for his disciples. The separation resulting from his going away would not be permanent. Verse 3 of John 14, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be." It was by means of his death, resurrection, and ascension that he went back to the Father. At his second coming, those who are in Christ, both the resurrected dead and the living, will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And again, I would keep my finger at John 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Christ, in Jesus. For this we say to you by word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Back to John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 4. "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." As often as Jesus had spoken of these matters, the disciples should have known where he was going and the way or the path. But let's look at John 14 and verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you go, where you are going, and how can we know the way?" These first five verses of John 14 give a backdrop for our Lord's bold, profound, and forceful proclamation. In verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. It is Jesus who gives us access to the Father in heaven. Let's look at what he taught us in John chapter 8 and verse 24. John chapter 8 and verse 24. "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Let's look at John chapter 8 and verse 21. 8:21. "Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come." Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. "For through him we both, Jew and Gentiles, have access by the Spirit to the Father, by one Spirit to the Father." It is Jesus who provides salvation for the lost. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts 4 and verse 12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Let's look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. Luke chapter 10 and verse 16. "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." It is Jesus who is our mediator with the Father. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 1. "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Therefore he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. While we're in Hebrews, let's look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God has that, excuse me, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Jesus Christ is the way. The Pope of Rome is not the way. Muhammad is not the way. Buddha is not the way. The Dalai Lama is not the way. Anyone who desires to come to the Father must come through Jesus Christ. He is the way. All other ways are false. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Jesus is the truth. Let's turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Starting at verse 1, the book of John opens with this informative declaration. John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John explains in the same chapter in verse 14, let's look at that, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is the Word which dwelt in the flesh. He is deity appearing in a visible and tangible form. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah prophesied that, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, where the prophecy was fulfilled. Behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. In him is the fullness of divine grace and truth. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John points out in John chapter 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What the law made known was true, but the types and shadows of the law gave no more than a faint outline." In John chapter 1 and verse 18, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Because of his unique relationship with the Father, Jesus could make known, declare, reveal, or explain the Father to mankind. The revelation of God in Christ is the truth in contrast to the Old Testament teaching. But because the Old Testament system was false, but not because the Old Testament system was false, but it was only a shadow and incomplete in comparison with the fullness of the New Testament teaching. If he were not the fullness and embodiment of the truth, he cannot be the way to the Father. Let's look at John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's look at verse 36. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus spoke the truth. He came into the world to bear witness to the truth. Let's look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse 37. John 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." More than that, he is the truth. Jesus is the life. A desire for eternal life has challenged men through the ages. Is there life beyond this temporal realm? If so, how is it obtained? Return to the beginning of John, the book of John, excuse me. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the Word which dwelt in the flesh, Jesus Christ is life that enlightens." Let's look at John chapter 5 and verse 26. John chapter 5 and verse 26. "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." Let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly." Jesus offers to mankind a higher life than physical. He offers spiritual life, even eternal life. Let's look at John chapter 3 and verse 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." One cannot have this life if he refuses to come to the Savior. Let's look at John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. To Martha, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, in John 11:25. He called her dead brother Lazarus from the grave to demonstrate that he had power over life and over death. His own resurrection from the dead is the crowning proof of his having life in himself. Paul reminded Timothy that Christ abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. In Christ there is freedom from sin, and those who believe, who become servants of God have their fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life in Romans 6 and verse 22. The next verse says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is life. What a marvelous revelation. Let's look at what John wrote in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 11 and 12. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Let's look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and the eternal life. Since Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but by him, we must believe and obey him to reach the destination of being with the Father. The words of Jesus Christ are the words of life. Let's look at John 6 and verse 68. John chapter 6 and verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. To enter into Christ and to put on Christ, one must be baptized. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. To be in Christ is to be a new creature. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God provides all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Through Christ we are given exceedingly great and precious promises, and that's found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. One of these promises is eternal life. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. The words of John 14 and verse 6 are clear, forceful, meaningful, and unmistakable. They offer comfort, hope, and assurance. At the same time, they restrict and warn. What does Jesus tell us about himself? He says he is the way, the truth, and the life. Do we really need Jesus? The rest of that verse says, no man cometh unto the Father except through me. That's my lesson this morning. There's also a verse in chapter 14 of John and verse 15 that says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Christ commands us to hear his word, believe his word, and believe in him, and have faith in him, repent of our sins and turn away from them, confess his name, and demand that he is the Son of the living God. And he commands us to be baptized, buried in water, and he commands us to be faithful until death. And if we do those steps in this life, we will be able to live with him and the Father in heaven after the judgment day. If you haven't obeyed the gospel and you wish to do that this morning, we can help you. If you'll come forward and let us know, if you've obeyed the gospel and you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we can help you with that as well if you'll let us know as we stand and sing.